Awesome. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, give a warm welcome to Nick Bojcik.
Give me a hug.
I love it.
Pastor Jack, thank you.
God bless you.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Thank you. I have been a big fan of the leadership and the boldness and the voice and the calling and the faithfulness of Pastor Jack Hibbs. I want to thank you so much for having me here this morning. It is my privilege and honor. Quick question, did you like that video? Can I just ask you, with a quick show of hands as well, who's never seen me speak face-to-face, please? Awesome, fantastic. It is such a privilege and honor as a Southern Californian resident to be here in Chino Hills. I love you very, very much. My wife and family sends their greetings. I'd like you to look at the screen for this family photo real quick. This is my wife, Kanae. We've been married now for 7 years. She's half Japanese, half Mexican. We call that Japsican. Her name is Kanae, and we have 4 children, Kiyoshi, Dayan, and our twin girls, Olivia and Ali. If you can go to the next photo for a closer one, please. Awesome. And then turn my volume down a little bit on that microphone, please. And real quick, on the ministry level, it sounds crazy. Everyone say crazy. That a guy without arms and legs can be used by God to be his hands and feet. And I want you to know that little did we know that God could do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask, imagine, or attain through the ministry. And when we do say 730 million people, we really actually mean it, have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a photo of the latest example of reaching 53 million people in one shot. Now, in face-to-face, there were 800,000 people there face-to-face in Kiev, in Ukraine, 2017 in September, but we, and out of the 800,000, actually 400,000 gave their life to Jesus Christ, praise God. And the coolest thing was we had 26 countries watching on mainstream, like their CNN, NBC, whatever, you know, actual mainstream live with no commercial interruption to 53 million people, praise God. And then this next photo is actually the Ukrainian government, the 10th government that I was able to address. They're actually on their knees on national TV asking God for the forgiveness of sins to heal their land. And that's Congress and House representatives there. And so we've been to 70 countries worldwide. They say I run so fast, I leave my legs behind. Thank you for that photo. I really admire, and I told this to Jack backstage. I said, Pastor Jack, I said, thank you for being bold and not allergic to talk about politics. We're at a very interesting pivoting point in our country, and that's all I'm going to say. And I can't wait to just have a cup of tea with Pastor Jack. We're going to arrange that over the summer. First of all, if you are a believer, this is definitely a sermon to take notes in. We're going to actually quickly refer to, we're not going to even turn to a scripture this morning, but I'm going to mention about 7 or 8 different scriptures that you can take home with you and actually pull these scriptures out when you go through your next valley, when you go through your next storm. What I want you to know is that I love those 2 words that were up on the screen during worship. How marvelous. And I've already quoted Ephesians 3:20. How marvelous is God? How awesome is the Savior's love for me? I was born without arms and legs, and I never thought that the exceedingly abundantly more was for me. I also love the second verse that I'm going to ask you to write down is, so that was Ephesians 3:20. The second one is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to the beginning of 14. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I want you to know that when I was born, my parents had no idea that I was going to be born this way. And Lady Gaga don't even know why I was born this way. And there are times in life where things happen and we ask the big questions of, if God's a loving God, then why do bad things happen? Well, we know that the Bible is very clear that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. We know that the Bible is very clear in knowing that pain does not come from God. Pain came from the curse of sin, the fall of man, from the devil, the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Good logical question is, if God then knew all of that and he loved us all, then why did he actually allow the serpent in the Garden of Eden if he knew that then that serpent in the Garden of Eden, who is the devil himself, would now be the devil himself on earth 2019 as a roaring lion who can seek to kill, destroy, and take away? Why would God allow that to happen? Very simple. If you actually read the Bible in Genesis, we must understand that God created us in his image. We have a soul, we have a spirit, we have a mind. Yes, we have a body, but it's who we are. And it wasn't God's perfect plan that I would be actually born this way. Yes, he knit me in my mother's womb. Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But it wasn't God's perfect plan for me to have no arms and no legs. It was the curse of sin that happened. So why did God allow that to happen? Because if God actually made us in his image, he also didn't want us to make us like robots. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. He wanted children. He wanted a family. He wanted to adopt us into his heavenly family. And if you're in the family of God, I am your half-brother. And I want you to know that God gave us something called free will. And here's the logical, intellectual side of the argument as to why God allowed the serpent in the Garden of Eden. If you actually go back as to how Satan fell from heaven at first, and then you see what happens there, but I'm going to skip all that part. Here it is, ready? If God gave me free will, if God gave Adam and Eve free will, but all they heard was God's voice, where's their free will? Free choice, there has to be choice. If they don't have an opportunity to exercise choice, then I could intellectually argue that they had never free choice. Are you with me, church? So what I want you to know is very quite logical as you study the Word of God. And I want you to know that it was logical to me that I was a sinner. It was logical to me that I wanted to live forever. Who doesn't want to live forever? But you see my foot? Ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. What do you do, and where is your hope when you go through your ups and downs? And today, I want to tell you that when people said, God's got a plan for you, not to harm you, but a good plan. And I went to school in Australia. I now live in Southern California. I moved here 13 years ago. Life Without Limbs is our ministry. And when I was the first special needs child to actually be integrated into the mainstream school system, I was looked at. Everybody just looks at me, right? And they're like, what happened? And I say, cigarettes. I love freaking people out. Seriously. Let me tell you a couple of funny stories of freaking people out. When I was on a plane, we actually dressed me up as the pilot and greeted the passengers as they came on the plane. It's on YouTube if you don't believe me. No one's going to handcuff me, right? My funniest story was I was one day in the car, we're at the front seat, we're at the traffic lights, and this car comes up next to us, and this girl's looking at me. So I'm looking at her, she's looking at me, I'm looking at her. All she sees is my head from the side. So you might want to bring your hand up to your face to cut off the rest of my body so all you see is my head. So for the full effect, just imagine all you see is my head. I just did this. And her face was like, so good. You know, when you're a kid, people come up and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's really interesting that in our flesh, in our limited thinking, in us not ever seeing what God has for us, and His plan is way better than mine, is that my value as a human being has nothing to do with how I look, nor what job I get, nor how much money I have. It was actually the janitor at my high school who was the first person when I was 17 years old, not my parents, not a close friend, the janitor cleaning the toilets at my high school. God used him to say, Nick, you're going to be a speaker. And I'm like, you're crazy, man. He organized my first speech in front of six students. He organized it after I said no for 3 months. He twisted my arm. I said, yes. I was in front of six or seven students. My palms were sweating. My knees were shaking. And I start talking. And this girl start crying. I'm like, what's wrong? And I realized that her life was forever changed. It's interesting because here I am speaking about hope at 17 for the very first time, kind of actually against my will, having no idea what I'm about to do. Yet when I was 10 years old, I actually attempted suicide. Because I was convinced, everyone say convinced. I was convinced in my own thinking and conclusions of based on what I felt and what I saw. Faith is believing something despite of what you feel, what you know, what you think, what you see. F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart. Full assurance in the heart of the perfect love, which is only in Jesus Christ, that casts out all fear. So when my parents looked at me, who actually trusted in the perfect love of God, they were still afraid. There's a difference between rational fears and irrational fears. Will my son ever go to school? Will he ever find a job? I thought to myself, I will never get married. Even if I got married, I can't even hold my wife's hand. Even if I had children, I can't even hold my kids when they're crying. What kind of father am I going to be? What kind of husband am I going to be? I'm never going to get a job. Are you kidding me? And you see my Bible up on stage. If you see this table, truth and encouragement of God towards His perfect plan for you helps you to take one step at a time. When a three-year-old starts to learn to walk, when he or she falls down, the father doesn't punish the child for falling down. Get back up. Keep on going. God knows that I will fall down. God knows that I will fail. God knows that I never will be perfect, but He is perfect, and He's going to carry me through the storms that He sometimes decides not to change. Because if God can't say no to my prayer, then I'm God. Well, prosperity, you know, just ask and everything's going to be given to you. Trust me. Do I have a pair of shoes in my closet in case God says yes? Yes. Have I seen miracles? Yes. I've seen 13 blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, lame people walking, crooked backs come straight. I even have a Westlake Village doctor showing the MRI scan of the three holes that I used to have in 2002 called a syrinx, a degenerative, incurable, irreversible, can't slow down disease that actually turns my spine into fluid. He said by age 35, 45, in 2002, my Aussie doctor, he said, you're going to have no spine. 10 years later, I was having pinching of my nerves. I couldn't feel my left arm. So I did another MRI scan up here in Southern California, 2002 MRI scan, three holes, 2012 scan, two holes, 2014 skulls, a scan, one hole, and 9 months later, I think it was end of 2014, I have no holes. And the doctor says, we don't know why. It's medically unexplainable. Why am I not atheist? Because science can't explain witchcraft, voodoo, black magic. There's got to be a spiritual realm. And when you see a demon walking through your hotel room, you ain't atheist after that. But in this life of wanting to believe what God has for me, what plan could God ever actually do? The doctors told my parents that I would never walk. My doctors told my parents he'll never go to school. Why? Because what they knew and what they saw was that in 1982, it was illegal for a disabled student to go to a mainstream school. But little did anyone know that God would use my mom to go to the government and actually change the law. What I wanted, though, was an answer. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I'm going to die. And there's only one cure. Resurrection. There was only one who resurrected, and I wanted to believe it, but where is he? He has a plan. He's silent. And we suggest a plan B, and he doesn't even text you back. I went through depression age 8. Why? Because here's the truth. But the way that we get defeated sometimes are with the lies. You're not good enough. Just give up. God doesn't love you. You need to be better before God hears your prayer. You need to give more money before. You need to have this gift of the Holy Spirit before God. No. You're never going to get married. You're never going to get a job. You're always going to be a burden to your parents. So you might as well just kill yourself. So I tried at age 10. To drown myself? Man, am I glad I'm here or what? God can do beautiful things with our broken pieces. Amen. So glad that one of your big initiatives this month for foster care awareness, man, I'll tell you, the friend that I had up here taking my wheelchair up and down off the stage, his name's Peter, they've had 26 foster kids through their home in the last 6 years, adopting one already, but already getting a couple more. But Peter, he didn't have a nice upbringing, let's just say that. And God, in his history, he didn't give up on God, and God will never give up on you. He gives you free choice, and there has to be a point where the grace door closes, and we take our last breath, and we have a choice. And that's the beautiful thing about understanding that no matter what broken pieces we have, we still have a choice. Are you still going to do things your way, in your strength, in your plan, trying to forget about the past, trying to heal from the past going forward? Are you going to, you know, make sure that you got this and this and this and this, and then you won't be, or are you going to say, God, I give my life to you. And that's what Peter did. And now he and his wife, because of his background of never having a loving father at the time, found a loving heavenly father, showing the heavenly father's love to these children. Me, when I was born without arms and legs, I never thought as a kid that I would ever meet someone with no arms and legs in California. I was speaking in front of a church probably in like 2003, 2004, and I saw a man hold up a little kid above the crowd with no arms and no legs, with a little foot just like me, little Daniel Martinez, 19-month-old, cute little boy. And I looked at him like, wow, I want to wrestle him later on. And I got the father to bring him up on stage, and he's looking up at me. I'm looking down at him. I can't give him a high five, so I put my little foot on his foot, and he smiled. His mother came up crying, saying, thank you so much for being our miracle. What do you think I said? Oh, you're very welcome. I did this all by myself. Because I was positive. Thank you, God, that my history can be useful. His story for what? To love God, commandment number one. To love your neighbor as yourself, number two. Why? Because then the people will understand that this life sucks here if this is it. Money, drugs, sex, alcohol, pornography, fame, and fortune. If you put your happiness in temporary things, your happiness will be temporary. But those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We were created to be with the Heavenly Father forever and ever and ever in a place called heaven, where the devil himself will be imprisoned for 1,000 years and then done with. And when is Jesus coming back? It's very clear in the Bible. Does anyone know exactly when Jesus is coming back? It's very, very clear, black and white, written in the Word of God. Ready? He is coming back when every single person on planet Earth has been given the choice Do you believe or do you not believe? 2025 will be the year that the last 2,500 language and dialects that have not been a translation of Scripture, it's getting done in 7 years from now. Every single language and I'm a little guy. We have 10 employees, 11 employees with the Minister of Life at LAMS. We've reached 730 million people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's insane. I think he's coming back pretty soon. Not because of us, but because the people who hear the heartbeat of God, who understand that we can't just talk the talk, we gotta walk the walk. Church, there are 100,000 churches in America that represent $480 million worth of debt, yet we have 425,000 foster kids waiting for a home, 111,000 children waiting for an adopted home. How can we say, I think that's a disgrace, and I think that's absurd, and I think it's embarrassing? That's the biggest thing when we talk about pro-life. Well, we have 500,000 kids. What are you guys doing about it? And you still have $500 million worth of debt. It's actually, I've actually got my numbers wrong. It's 480 billion. Did I say million? 480 billion. When you go to Vons, when you go to the grocery store, and you're on your little phone, and you get the product, and she goes, she ain't looking at you. You ain't looking at her. What are you doing? You're on your phone. Busy. How you doing? I'm busy. What have you been doing? I don't know. I've just been busy. Get this one down. B-U-S-Y. When you're too busy to understand that every day counts. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. Get your phone away. Look at her and say, hi. Can you practice that with me? Hi. How are you? Oh, I'm okay. Can I pray for you? Oh, God forbid you actually ask her. No, it ain't God forbidding you. Can I pray for you? What is the worst thing that can happen? She says, no. Do you know what you come back with? You say, well, when I go in my car, I'm going to pray for you anyway. So while I'm talking to the man upstairs, can you just give me your list? Yes. And my mom. And you don't have any clue if that girl just saw last night her verbally abusive father abuse her mother. And she's thinking, maybe it's better if I'm not here. And you take time to look him in the eye. Hi. You have a story. You have a story, a testimony. Your history is his story. You've been with an alcoholic father. Someone who has an alcoholic father today at 16 years old who's contemplating suicide. Do you know God can use you more powerfully than me? When I saw a little boy with no arms and no legs, I realized, wow, when you don't get a miracle, you can still be one in the hands of the Lord. Well, I need arms and legs. No, I don't. Am I waiting for arms and legs? No. Am I praying for arms and legs? Yeah. 2 billion people in the planet know who I am. Not all of them heard the gospel, but they've seen me on TV. 1 billion in China. They all know me. I'm on the front page of their Netflix. In about 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, called Ai Chi Yi. What would that do? I don't know. I don't need arms, legs, though. What I need is peace, love, joy. And you know what the greatest cure is for depression? Purposeness. My teenage is depressed, and I don't know what to do, so I might send them on a missions trip. No, you go with them. Go. When was the last time you got your fingernails dirty? When was the last time you fed the homeless? When was the last time you wrote a check? When was the last time you actually, have you ever told your neighbor about Jesus? Why not? Well, what are they going to say? I can't share my faith at work. Yes, you can. This is how. Ready? Hey, would you like to go out on a coffee one day? Yes, I would. Awesome. And you ask them, tell me your story. And they're like, oh, okay. And guess what happens after they finished? They say, tell me your story. Oh, I thought you'd never ask. You're an evangelist. Your testimony. That's the bottom line. I have the heart of an evangelist, but Matthew 28 isn't a great commission as an option. It's not an accessory. It is a demand. It is a command. It is a commission, the great commission. Go out and preach the gospel to your neighbors and your friends. Period. Period. How do I do it? I don't know. Just be friends. Then love on them. Yes, but then eventually you have to tell them. Tell them. You grandparents, the greatest advice I can ever give you, write your testimony down. I wish my grandfathers did that for me. I wish my great-great-great-grandfathers did that for me. It'd be a family legacy. And who do I want first in heaven? My own kids, my own grandkids, my own great-great-great-grandkids. You can share your testimony. In about 20 years' time, we all will share our testimony in a virtual reality setting, face to face. How cool is that? Technology is here, guys. Jesus is coming back soon, and I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to know He loves you, and He wants you to have the joy, love, peace, and strength. Does Nick wake up every morning and say, "Hi, everyone. God bless you"? No, but what I've done was I made that conscious decision that despite what I feel, despite what I see, I'm saying, God, give me a plan. Tell me your plan. And He doesn't give me His plan. Don't wait for God to tell you His plan, because He ain't probably going to tell you. Let me tell you exactly why. He will never tell you the future, because if He tells you the future on every day of your life, then what's the point of having faith? God's love and passion for us is children to walk by faith and not by sight. And I love it when at 15 years old, I read John chapter 9, a man was born blind. No one knew why he was born that way. And I related to this story, as you can imagine. Can you imagine the blind man hearing the conversation? Rabbi, who sinned that this man was born blind? What I love about the world, guys, and how God made the world is, you can believe in anything. You have free choice. I can choose to believe in this table. Table, I worship you. I put food here. I will put this table doing nothing for me when I'm dead. We all have different philosophies and beliefs. I'll never forget when I was 12 years old, a woman came up to me and she said, "Were you born this way?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Do you want to know why?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Reincarnation." I said, "What's that?" I was 12 years old. She said, "In your previous life, you were a bad boy." And she said, "Now you're coming back in this life and you're being punished. But now that you're a good boy, you're going to come back like a butterfly." I'm thinking, that sucks. I mean, what do you say? I don't understand, though. Previous life, I don't even know the fingerprints to this life. I don't know how she tracked me down. But when you actually look at the question that the people were asking Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned? Was it this man who was a sinner that he was born this way?" That's reincarnation. Yes? Yes. What else could it be? He had a previous life. Jesus said, "No, But it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. What the enemy tried to use for bad, God can turn into good. And he didn't sit the blind man down and say, hey, Mr. Blind Man, my name is JC and I'm the healer. I'm going to put mud on your face, and after I'm done with giving you a facial, you're going to see. He didn't tell him the plan. Now imagine, I'm blind and I hear a chutum. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. Who are you? What do you want? What are you doing? What's the plan? Some of you put intellect as something you put oceans of faith in. Has your intellect failed you? Faith in new relationships, faith in a new season, faith in economy, faith in the hope that when you actually pay off your home and get a couple rental properties in Del Mar, that you'll actually be helped. Like Corona Del Mar, you'll be very happy. Be still and know that I am God. Well, I think good people should, you know, go to a good place. Well, we all can agree that the person who rapes my daughter, who's never sorry, should never be a resident of heaven. Right? Then how good is good and how bad is bad? From 37,000 feet in the air, I look down on the tall buildings. They look pretty much the same to me. From God's point of view, Alex, can I have you play some guitar up here? I play guitar, but I'm not warmed up yet. When you realize these are just lies and you just be still and know that I'm God, that you can't overcome your own addiction to pornography. You can't rewind the past. You can't heal, really, on your own. And you realize this is a life. Ready? Truth, lies. And to the lies you say, lies. Talk to the foot because the ears ain't listening. Oh, this is too hard for you. No, Philippians 4:13, write that down. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, you just got bad luck and you'll always be bad. Romans 8:28. All things come together for the good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. One that I don't normally quote that I'm going to quote this morning is Romans 8:18. For I consider that our present suffering is not worth comparing to the glory revealed in it by Apostle Paul. Let me explain what that is. Does it suck to have no arms and no legs? Yes. But did God give me grace and mercy for everything I need? Yes. He is a good God. Would it be really cool to hold my wife's hand and hug her, throw her up in the air, throw her into the pool? Yeah, I'd love that. Or wouldn't you want arms and legs? I found something. It's so real. It supersedes anything this world can ever give. Supersedes actually any other religion. Don't you dare be a Christian just because someone tells you to be. My goodness. Find him. Look for him. Some of you teenagers and kids think that you're saved because you come to the 7:15 a.m. service every Sunday with your parents. And then you go to school on Monday and you tease and you gossip. You don't know the love of God. When you found Jesus and you actually research, well, I don't want to give my life to God because, you know, why should my friends then go to hell if they don't believe in Jesus? Because Jesus didn't resurrect. And if you actually do your research and put me as an example, a guy with no arms or no legs, in 2019, there are still 40-odd countries around the world that is in their constitution in the government that
because of religious beliefs. If you believe that your child is born without arms and legs, they are cursed and by the gods, and so they're going to make the village contagious with this curse, so kill the child alive. That's why I was invited to my first of 18 president meetings, because they were killing children legally because of a disability. We know better. We know better. They don't. Put me in a religion, I'm not going to name them, but I have to keep 660 odd laws and then hope that I get in. I hope I get in. Put me in other religions, I'm already a curse. I'm already a class. My mom should have been divorced. Research. Look it up yourself. And when you search for him, you'll find him. And when you find him, you walk with him. You talk with him. Some of you even don't even know how to pray for more than 5 minutes. Aren't you at war? Do you think that that young man who's going to war is like, oh yeah, I'll be fine? You don't think he's exercising? You don't think he's praying? You don't, because he knows he's going to war. You step out of your bedroom door, you, before you get off your bed, you're at war. Bam, 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 bam. Put on your armor. Pick up your shield, pick up your sword, and go. You have a purpose today. Hallelujah. I'll never forget 03, speaking in a country, Southeast Asia. Someone emails us, if we ever see you come back to our country and we ever see another 60,000 people give their life to Jesus Christ like that, we're going to kill you. 3 years later, we went back. 60,000 people came to Jesus, gave their life again. We got an email from the same guy and he said, I came there to kill you, but I gave my life to Jesus Christ instead. So what do you think I want? Arms and legs for 90 years? That's going to give me arthritis later on anyway? Or the day in heaven where my Jesus I shall see and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that'll be. And then I hear my name, hey Nick! And I'm going to look, it's going to be Daniel Martinez running to me with his new legs, hugging me with his new arms, weeping and saying, thank you for helping me believe that this place called heaven was real. What do I want? There's only one treasure in heaven, apart from our mansion we get. We get jewels in our crown. For every person that you procure someone's faith in Jesus, you get a jewel. I'm a real estate broker in heaven, baby. And those who are in the Great Commission get the commission. It ain't jewels. It's hugging people. Hugging 1.1 million people who actually came forward and said, I gave my life to Jesus when you spoke. Here's my wife. Here are my kids. Here's their kids. Here's their kids. Then there's the spouses and the... How are you doing? Are you quite done playing games? You ready? Surrender. Some of you 60-year-old brothers, you're not sure if you went to sleep tonight and you didn't wake up, you're not sure if you're actually going to wake up there or down there. Why go to sleep tonight without that peace? It's real. From the front to the back, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to this message. Jesus died for you. He's the only one who died for your sins. He died because he could die for your sins. I couldn't die for your sins because death actually came to Adam and Eve when they had sin. Now we all have sin. Don't switch off. Give me 2 3-year-olds and give them one toy and you'll see sin. That's why we all die. Are you with me? Jesus, who didn't have sin, didn't have to die. And at the cash register, at the grocery store, the product that I want to buy is actually eternal life. And you know what the price is? Death. And Jesus comes along and says, I'll pay for that. if I really believe he paid for it. And he did it, and he rose again. It's done. Well, I hope that's enough. No, it's done. When it's $5 and you give him $5, well, I hope that's enough. What, are you stupid? It's enough. It's $5. It's $5. Done. $5. Done. Blood. Atonement. Done. Paid for. Done. I know it's done. I don't have to hope. It is done. And I want to see you up there. And Jack Hibbs wants to see you up there. Alex wants to see you up there. We all want to see you up there. I want to see your grandchildren up there. Are you going to be there? It starts with a prayer. God, forgive me of my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'll never be perfect. Come into my life. I don't want my plan. I want your plan. I don't want my strength. I want your strength. Please come into my life. And I'm going to trust that my history is your story that you're going to use to plant seeds. Heal my heart. Take my depression. I can't do my addiction on my own. Transform me. And he will. And in a moment, I'm going to call you forward to actually say this prayer with me. I'm not going to lay hands on you or anything. You don't have to be worried. But I know that people say, well, I can just say this prayer from my chair. Yeah, you can. God would hear you. But seriously, if you can't stand up for your faith in a moment like this, in a setting like this, in a church building, if you can't stand up for a faith decision here, how on earth do you think you're going to stand up for your faith decision out there? That's why I call you forward. It's time to get real, from the youngest to the oldest. I want you to grab your things. If you're thinking of coming, you're like, I'm not going up there. No. Your feet are heavy. Your heart's beating. God's knocking on the door of your heart, and the devil keeps on knocking on your front door. And for as long as you own your own life and your own heart, it's the owner that opens the door when the devil comes knocking. If you invite Jesus into your heart and you give him the ownership of your life and you hand him the key when the devil comes knocking, it ain't on your strength, it's his. Jesus opens the door. And when the devil sees Jesus, he says, sorry, I knocked on the wrong door. Does the devil walk away? No, he'll come again. Will it be sweet and fluffy and beautiful? No. Will he sometimes let storms continue to fall? Yes, but he'll hold you and he'll carry you and he'll keep you until the storm passes. Right now, church, from the front to the back, if you know that this is not a recommitment, you already know Jesus, this ain't for you. But if you know that you're not saved, you haven't given your life to Jesus, well, I don't want to make that decision today. Okay, listen very carefully. Indecision is your decision. That's your decision. Is that your decision or not? No, I want that. God, if that's what you have for me, I want that. You have a plan for me? I want to know what it is. You love me? There's answers actually to the bigger questions of life. Yeah, some. The most important ones. It's all by faith. Start. Turn around and come. Right now, if that's you, make sure you bring your belongings so you're not worried about your belongings later. I want you to pick up your stuff. And if you know that you know you need to make your life right with Jesus, I want you to stand up to your own feet, grab your things, and come on down. And don't wait for the first person. Be the first person right now. And when you see someone coming forward, clap them on down. Right now, if you know you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, stand and come. Don't wait for the first person. Be the first person. And I'm a very patient man when it comes to this. Again, this is not for those who believe in Jesus. Don't come up here just to make other people feel like they're not the only one. Trust me, they're coming. We just got to wait for the right one. So right for the first one. Right now, if you know that you need to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to wait. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Every soul counts. When one person gives their life to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. Right now, church, come on. You know that you need Jesus in your heart. Bring your wife down. Bring your husband down. Come alone. Church, can you give a shout of praise? That's about three times louder.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Not too late. Make a move now. Make a move now. Come on down. That's it. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Hey, we're going to stop the applause for a second. Ready? Listen, I'm expecting at least double and a half of the people up here. And you're thinking of coming. Stop thinking about it. Stop delaying. I need to fix myself up before I give my life to Jesus.
Lie!
What if I say the F word? Am I going to hell? Hell no! When you do this, some things may hang around. Some things you can pray away. Some things you need counseling for. He came for the sick. He came for the broken. If you're sick and broken, He came for you. Come down as you are. Come on. This is the last and final call right now. And if you don't want to come alone, wait, church, wait. This is how we get double and a half. Ready? Ready? Listen to me. Look at me. You want to come up here, but you don't want to come alone. Here's the trick. Simply turn to the person next to you and say, hey, will you please come with me? I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm done. I'm 13 years old. I'm 9 years old. I'm 18 years old. I'm 88 years old. I don't want to go alone. Will you please come with me? And guess what they're going to say? Absolutely. Church, this is it. Final call. Come now with friends. I will count another with friends. 60 people from now, or 80. There's at least 60 or 80. Come on. Ready. Come. Get up. Ask him. Come on. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on. Church. Come on. Move. I'm not joking. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. That's 18, 19. I'm waiting for at least 41 more people with friends. Come on down. Hallelujah. Come and start your journey with Jesus. Waiting for 40, 39, 38, 37. Come on, church. Do you believe with me for more people? 36, 35, 34, 33. Keep on coming. Waiting for 33 more people. Move. Get up. Just come. Nothing to be afraid of. 35, 34, 33. No, didn't we do already 33? I've now lost count. 30. Am I waiting for 30 more people? I'm waiting for any more people. It's just a good guess. Are we good? Are you coming down? Give me a nod. Good. We'll wait for you. Hallelujah. Let's thank God for that. Yeah, come down. Awesome. There are 73 people up the front, church. Let's give God a shout of praise. 73 people. Wow. 74, 75. Awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're coming down, are you coming down? I want you to run. Stop. Guys, you guys got to move. Is there more? Come. You got to come, but you got to run. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father God, we come before you and we thank you so much for your love, for the power of truth, for the power of the cross and the resurrection and the power of your love that instigates a purpose-filled plan for our life. God, you know every person in this room, every cancer, sickness, and disease, our bodies. In the name of Jesus, we pray for physical miracles in this place, that doctors would be very surprised at the next reports. In the name of Jesus, healed by the blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank you that we can believe in a physical miracle. But Lord, greater than any miracle is the miracle of knowing you. Thank you for the people up the front. Bless them and their families. Take away their depression, their hurts, their pains. Help them to overcome. Help them to find a local church. If they don't have a local church or an adopted family in the heavenly family, Father, this is now family. Help us to walk. Help us to grow. Thank you, God, that this is the beginning of a brand new life. Up the front, please repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear God, I come to you today, and I thank you for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I am a sinner. Forgive me. I'll never be perfect. But today, I make a conscious decision to ask you into my life. Please come into my life. Be my Savior and my friend. I can't do this on my own. I need you. I want to know you. I want to live for you. Give me faith and fill me with your Holy Spirit to know you. Teach me how to pray. Show me how to read my Bible. And thank you, God, that you'll never leave me, because that's what you say. And I thank you for that. Heal my heart and set me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a shout of praise. Amen. I want to be able to see you all. Can you see me up the front? I want you to know this is just the beginning. Tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and say, what do I do next? We want to help you. We want to actually give you a letter from me to each and every one of you. That's why I asked you also to bring your things. You've given us approximately 7:15. What is that? About 90 minutes of your time, 80 minutes of your time. I'm asking you for 3 more minutes of your time. Let me tell you why. Because we want to give you something. When it's not here, it's actually at a room. We want to actually also ask you, give us your contact details. Why? So we can ask you for money? No. So we can call you up and say, hey, we're so excited with you. We're so excited for you and with you on today's decision. This week, someone's going to call you and say, hey, how can we pray for you? How can we pray for your family? Do you have any questions? Do you have a local church? Come back to this church. If you don't have a home church, my brothers and sisters, this is a good church. Welcome home. Pastor Jack Hibbs, go for it. You want to say anything?
Real quick, if you guys would exit in just a moment to your left, your loved ones can meet you on the other side. There's that door that's open. If your loved ones are here, they can meet you in the courtyard, okay? That's very, very important. But I want to say this to you and to all of you. As I was watching and listening to Nick, God use him. What I love about what you're hearing and seeing today is the fact that God has presented him before us and before the world for one of those things in our lives as believers, to evaporate our excuses. God's use of Nick in our lives takes away our excuses. And that is an awesome thing. And to realize, you might say today, well, you know what? Nick has challenged us greatly to evangelize. But it's easy for him. He doesn't have arms. He doesn't have legs.
People say that.
Seriously?
And I want to headbutt them in the face.
And I was back there thinking that, and I shared it with the worship team, and how convicting is that? No, listen. God wants to use you. God has used you, and the fruit of that is right here, and God has used Nick. So friends, family, listen, we're going to ask these to head off right now.
Yes.
If you would go, just follow right through that door. If you want to meet up with your loved ones, they're going to meet you on the other side.
Let me say real
quick.
Yes,
please.
If I see you go back to your seats, I'm assuming you're grabbing your things. But if you sit down at your seat, I'm going to drag you back up, all right? So military style. And listen, I actually feel really convicted. If you're age between 5 or 15, there are some young kids.
Yes.
Teens. You said that prayer. And you mean it. You just didn't come forward. Tell the person next to you, I actually said that prayer, and I really want what these guys are going to get. Seriously, I really believe, I even feel like, if you said that prayer, please come forward, okay? Everyone up here, turn this way, face that way, march out that door. Church, let's give God a shout of praise for this morning. Jack Hibbs, thanks so much, brother.
Thank you.
God bless you, bro.
Thank you.